Very, very good. I want you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We've been plowing through the building families of faith, and I have enjoyed myself thoroughly. I want you to know that. And we've plowed through the foundation of the family of faith. We're now in the middle of the formation of the family of faith, the different relationships that are governed within the household. And we've already dealt with the marriage relationship. Now we've turned our attention for the last two messages, and we're continuing tonight with the parent-child relationship. And what a relationship this is, and I encourage you that you ask God to help you. I'll be honest with you, this is one of those messages that, in my opinion, are one of the most vital messages as far as the next generation is concerned. You heard one of them this morning, no doubt about it, but another one tonight. This is so vital. And I'm going to ask you that you allow the Lord to speak to you right in the exact way He wants to speak to you. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." By the way, children, it is right. Verse number 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." I draw your attention to verse 4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Again, it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 4. It's the three words, bring them up. Bring them up. And I want to speak to you on that subject tonight. Our Father, we love you this evening. We praise you for who you are, who you're not, what you are, what you're not. We thank you for all you've done for us. And I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. May thy will be done tonight. May you speak to hearts and strengthen homes this evening. May the will of God be done, I pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. In Paul's day, they had a very, very difficult situation that they were facing in that pagan culture. For example, the Roman world had what was called the father's power. Now, in that society, the father had total power, absolute power over his entire family. Without any jurisdiction or any court of the land, he could sell off any member of his family into slavery. He could make them work in the fields in chains. He could take the law into his own hands. He could punish them. He could inflict the death penalty on his own children. As long as he lived, even if he was 60 and his child was 40, he could still have his children put to death. There was no age limit on this. The father had the right and the power over all of his children, even the power of life and death. Now, we're told that when a child was born, it was placed before its father's feet. And if the father stooped to lift the child, it meant that he acknowledged the child and wished it to be kept. But if he turned and walked away, the child would be thrown out. And children which were thrown out very commonly in ancient times were thrown into a dump pile and thrown into the street or left in the forum in Rome. And then they would be collected by people who had raised them to be slaves or prostitutes. To show you that this is the case, there's a letter that's been discovered from 1 BC from a man that was named something like Hilarion. And he wrote to his wife, Alice, and it says this, and I quote, "Hilarion to Alice, his wife, heartiest greetings. Know that we are still even now in Alexandria. Do not worry if when all others return, I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of the little child, and as soon as we receive wages, I will send them to you. If good luck to you, you have the child. If it be a boy, let it live. If it's a girl, throw it out." Seneca wrote, and I quote, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge the knife into the sickliest cattle. Children who are born weak and deformed, we drown." Their world wasn't much different than ours when you think about it. Because we have the medical technology to do it today, whereas they didn't have it then. Abortion's no different than that. And all I'm saying to you tonight is this. As Paul is speaking these words in Ephesians chapter 6, this is the society that he was living in. Society that children who were deformed, children who had weaknesses, and even children who just wasn't wanted was just thrown out. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest abuse of a child is not physical abuse. The greatest abuse of a child is to leave that child alone. Now, on the other hand, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that children are a gift from God. And by the way, they're still a gift from God. They're to be loved, one, trained, and sent forth into the Lord's work. 1 Samuel tells us that we're to take these love gifts from God and turn around and give them right back to Him. Now, in order to help this and help with this, it's going to take some hard, dedicated work by the parents to get them back from where they came from. In other words, here's the point I'm trying to get you to think of before I even go into my message about bringing them up. When that child was conceived in the womb of the mother, God reached down and God is giving a love gift to somebody. When they were born, God has given the parents an exalted privilege to do one thing and one thing alone, and that is wrap them up and give them right back to where they came from. A parent's duty is to take their children who was given to them by God and give them right back to Him. Now, that being the case, I want to share with you three things tonight about bringing your children up. This is a biblical message on biblical discipline. And this will all make sense as we travel through. Three things about bringing them up tonight. Number one, we notice the responsibility to bring them up. This is brought out in our text where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. And verse number 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now notice in verse 4, he uses the word fathers. And the reason he does this is because the father is the picture of God the Father in the home. So we see the major responsibility to discipline the kids is placed at the feet of the father, but it is also placed at the feet of the mother. Why else would he use both parents in verses 1 and verse number 2? Understand that the responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is lying at the feet of both parents. That's why, get this, that's why you should never let your child play you against the other parent. Your child, every now and then, and some of you know what I'm talking about right here, you can tell them no, and then they'll go to the other parent who had no idea that you said no and ask them the same thing. And then if they say yes, then they go to the other one and say, "Daddy said yes, you said no, but Daddy told me yes." Now, maybe that's never happened in your home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I think you do. I think that's why you're laughing. And what am I saying to you under this first point? I'm saying the first point is this. It is the responsibility of both parents with the major responsibility lying at the feet of the father. Let me say this to you. If the mother is doing all the discipline, it is out of line scripturally. Let me say it again. If the mother is doing all the discipline and the daddy never lifts his finger, that is not of God. That is not biblical. Let me tell you why. Because God the Father disciplines his children in Hebrews chapter 12. And the fathers are a direct picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those who are in the home. Our recent study found that the primary reason most children end up in foster care, it's not divorce, it's not death, and it's not finances, but simple disinterest on the part of the parents. They simply do not care about the welfare of the child. Can you imagine that? The responsibility to bring them up for and unto the Lord rests at the feet of the parents, not the church, and not the school. Now let me say this. On top of that, churches and schools are to assist parents in bringing your children up. But they're not to take the place of parents in bringing your children up. Children are to be trained in the home more than anywhere else in this world. Now with this in mind, parents should choose prayerfully and carefully what church they attend and what school they put their kids in. Because the church you send your kids to and the school you send your kids to, they're either helping you raise your kids or they're stabbing you in the back. Now, you need to make sure that you're in the right kind of church and you need to make sure that your children are in the right kind of school. By the way, if you don't have a home church, I can recommend one to you. We'd love to have you here. But I don't want you to ever think, just in case you're visiting, I don't want you to ever think that we believe that our church is the only church, because it's not. There are good churches out there, godly churches out there. But if this is the church that God wants you in, this is the church that's best for you. And I want to give you my word as the pastor, when you come here, if you bring your children here, we're going to pump them full of the Bible. We're going to give them God's word, and that's what they need. There's no doubt about it. Now I want to ask you a question. Are the places that you put your children, are they helping you as the parent to bring them up for God? It's the parent's responsibility. Number two, and right here is really where the message begins. Not only the responsibility to bring them up, but number two, the resources to bring them up. Now, the resources are found in verse number four, where it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, one of the many great things about our God is when He gives us a command, He gives us the ability to obey that command. Now, the Lord has given parents a tremendous responsibility to bring their children up for His glory, His honor, and His use. Now, in order to help with this, He has given the parents some resources to bring them up to accomplish the task of giving them back to Him. Now, in order to help you see these valuable resources, it'll take me a while to get to it, we've got to consider the words nurture and admonition. Now, I want to look at these two words separate, and because my main two points under this, I'm talking about the main two resources come out of this, of the meanings of these words. The word nurture here carries the idea of training. It carries the idea of teaching that's enforced with rewards and also enforced with punishment. This is all in this word nurture. It carries the idea of instruction or disciplinary correction. The word admonition means to put in mind. It means to instruct with a view of judgment. That's powerful right there, folks. It means to give a warning of dire consequences if the path is not changed. It carries the idea of restraining. All in those two words, right? Powerful words. Here's what He's saying. He's saying, I want you to train your child. I want you to teach your child. I want you to enforce your training and teaching with rewards when it's good, with punishment when it's bad. I want you to correct them disciplinary. I want you to put them in mind. I want you to instruct them with the view that they have a judgment date with God. Are you listening to me? One day you should discipline your kids. One reason why you ought to discipline your children is because when you show them that they have to answer for their actions, if you tell them to do that and they don't do it and you let them get by with it, you're teaching them that they can get by with sin. And God says they have a judgment date with Me. And the parent's responsibility is to discipline the kids in view of the coming judgment when they're going to stand before Almighty God. You need to discipline your kids. Why? Because God commands you to. Now, when you join these two words together, you get two major resources to use in bringing them up. By the way, so many times when you hear the word discipline, you think of physical discipline, but you're missing the point. Discipline is not just physical. Majorly, it is spiritual first. Now, I'm going to help you with this. These messages are so different for me. It's just a big counseling session for me. And I want to help you. We as parents are to train and restrain. Say that with me. We are to train and restrain. Say it again. We are to train and restrain. These two things keep in mind because I'm going to give you something. Now, before I share with you these two resources to use in bringing them up, giving them back to God, if you will, before I share with you these two resources, notice the word of caution in verse number four. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." This is a word of caution. And let me say this to you. Parents provoke their children to wrath in many ways. Let me give you some of these. Sometimes they provoke them to wrath by overprotecting them. There are parents who provoke their children to wrath by showing favoritism to another sibling. There are parents who show favoritism by overindulgence. In other words, giving them everything they want. Parents provoke them to wrath by discouragement, by criticizing them. By the way, you should never criticize your children. Never. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been guilty of that. I'm trying to be very open with you. I've been guilty of it, and God has cut me and shown me that's not right. It's not right when a daddy gets up and criticizes their children. You should not criticize, you should correct. There's a big difference. Parents provoke their children to wrath when they have unrealistic expectations. In other words, you want them to turn out to be that so bad, but yet God has something else for them. Are you listening to me? Here's the thing. I'm saying to you that parents are so guilty, and most of us are so guilty of wanting that so bad for your children that you think you have God's mind in it, when in reality God may be calling them to do this with their life. And if you have unrealistic expectations for your children, you're going to provoke them to wrath. Be very careful. Some of them provoke them to wrath by labeling them as a nuisance, making them feel they're in the way, or trying to make them mature too quickly, or neglecting them, or physical or verbal abuse. Now, with all this said and done, the Lord brings out two vital resources. This is the major point I'm trying to get across. Two vital resources for you to use as a parent to bring up your children. Now, again, what's the parent to do? Train and restrain. Train and restrain. Train and restrain. The first major resource he gives you, this is all found in the words nurture and admonition. Number one, he gives you the resource of doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine means beliefs and teachings of the Word of God. This is where the training part comes in. Training, restraining. Training, restraining. Let's talk about training first. How do you train your child? You listening? With doctrine. The Word of God. The greatest resource parents have in training their children is the Bible. You cannot bring them up the way God wants you to bring them up if you do not give them a steady dose of the Bible. It's impossible. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates." 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Parents, are you training your children with the Word of God? By the way, let me ask you a question. Should children be taught to obey? Yes or no? Where do you get that? The Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Should children be taught to honor their parents? Where do you get that? The Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Should children be taught to work? Should they? Yes. Where do you get that? The Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, 4, 11, 2 Thessalonians 3, 11, and 12. Should they be taught to have proper attitude towards material things? Sure they should be. You get that from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. They should be taught proper attitude towards moral purity. You get it from the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. They should be taught about sin and about separation and about the Christian living. They ought to be taught these major biblical plans from the Word of God. You must have a steady dose of Bible doctrine in your home. Don't let the word doctrine scare you. That word doctrine just means beliefs and teachings. And you ought to train your children. Young people, listen. You ought to train your children. You ought to set them down and say, "I'm going to tell you one thing. As long as you stick your feet under my table, we're going to obey this book right here. We're going to read it. We're going to meditate on it. We're going to memorize it. We're going to have family devotions. We're going to sit down together. And we're going to learn what God wants us to do. And we're going to try our best to do it." One of the greatest things you can do for your children is teach them the Word of God. By the way, how can you teach your children something you don't spend time in? You as the parent. If there's a parent listening to me right now and you say, "Jody, I don't have family devotions. I don't even have individual devotions." And you wonder why your home's a wreck. Some people say, "Jody, that's cruel." That's not cruel. I'm trying to love on you a little bit. Listen to me. Every problem is a spiritual problem 99.9% of the time. Now, I'm not saying there's no physical problems. I'm not saying that there's no mental problems. I realize all those things can be dealt with and medically treated. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about marriage problems, children problems, parental problems. You talk about those problems. More than likely, it begins with God first. No doubt about it. And I'm saying you've got to be a person, a parent of the Bible. Read it every day of your life and read it to your children. Memorize the Word of God and memorize Scripture with your family. I need to do a better job of that. Why? Because the first major resource that God has put into the hands of parents is the resource of doctrine. The Bible, the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you having family devotions? Are you gathering your family around you, men? And are you saying we're going to read the Bible tonight as a family? Some of you men would shock your wives if you did that before you went to bed tonight. That'd be a good shocking too. I'm saying we need to get our children to the Word of God. Amen? Somebody help me out there. Amen? By the way, if you bring your children here, because you ought to have a church that helps you do these things. In the Cadets for Christ program, we're finalizing it right now. And in that Cadets for Christ program, it is a program that is pumping your children full of the Word of God. Sunday school, the Bible, preaching, the Bible. Forget my thoughts, forget my philosophy. Let's see what God says about it. And let's live by the book. First of all, he gives you the resource of doctrine. Secondly, he gives you the resource of discipline. Now, what I mean here is right here in these words in our text, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember, the word nurture can also mean disciplinary action or instruction or correction. Now, this physical discipline. Now, you understand doctrine is spiritual discipline. You understand that, right? That's spiritual discipline. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to memorize the Bible. You're going to try to live by the Bible. I'm talking about children. You need to obey your mom and daddy because the Bible tells you to do it. You need to do this because God said to do it. You need to be in church because God told you to do it. Hey, why should you teach your children to live by the book? Because they're not going to be in your home forever. And when you teach them in your home, there's a greater person in life than me. And his name is God. Then when they grow up and they go off to college, they may leave you, but they don't leave God, and God goes with them. And God will help them not leave what they were taught in the home. And may the Lord drive that in our hearts. But there is a second part, and that is physical discipline. This is still in the Bible. By the way, this is a resource to help them, not damage them. Now, children will be children. Amen. They will be children. But they must have proper discipline to help them, to help bring them up for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at this physical discipline in a little bit of detail here. I'm jumping around a little bit tonight, and I apologize for that, but I trust that this will help you. The Houston Police Department published a timely little booklet called How to Ruin Your Children. And here's what they said in dealing with delinquency and criminals. And how these delinquents and criminals came about. Here's what they said. Said, here's how to ruin your children. Number one, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him when he says it. It's happening all over America. Number three, never give him any spiritual training until he's 21 and then let him decide for his own. This is a police department giving this. Number four, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop guilt feelings. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around so he'll be experienced in throwing all responsibility for everything he does on somebody else. Some of this happened in your home. That's a police department. Another book was written by a medical doctor, and he took kind of a sarcastic approach to this, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, I'm just reading this. And he suggests how to create a tragic child. In other words, he gave 10 steps for developing your normal, healthy baby into a drug addict or an alcoholic. Here's what he said. Number one, spoil him. Give him everything he wants if you can afford it. Number two, when he does wrong, you may nag him, but never spank him. Number three, foster his total dependence on you so drugs or alcohol can replace you when he's older and you're no longer around. Number four, protect him from your husband. Or from your wife, apply to whatever applies to you, and from all those mean teachers who threaten to spank him from time to time or discipline him and sue them if you wish. Number five, make all of his decisions for him. Make all of his decisions for him since you're a lot older and wiser than he, because he might make mistakes and learn from him if you don't. Number six, criticize his father or mother openly so your child can lose his own self-respect and confidence. Number seven, always bail him out of trouble so he'll like you. Besides, it might harm your reputation if he gets a police record, it says here. Number eight, always step in and solve his problems for him so he can depend on you and run to you when the going gets tough. Then when he's older and still hasn't learned how to solve his own problems, he can continue to run from them by running to drugs and alcohol. Number nine, just play it safe and be sure to dominate your spouse and drive them to drink. Or number 10, take a lot of prescription drugs yourself so that taking non-prescription drugs won't be a major step for him. This is from a medical doctor. Every baby starts life as a little savage. Now that's except my children, you understand. They're completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants, when he wants it, his bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch. You deny him these things once and you see his rage coming out and his aggressiveness coming out, which would be murderous were it not that he wasn't helpless. You know it's the truth. He's dirty, he has no morals, doesn't know anything, and he hasn't developed any skills. This means that all children, get this, all children are not just certain children. All children are born delinquent, every one of them. And if permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, or a rapist, end quote. If you want a child who is a grief and a rebel and a sorrow and disaster and a disgrace and a humiliation and a user and a shame, then just don't do anything. Just let them live the way they want to live. But if you discipline your child, set a standard, live by the standard, discipline to the standard, your children will love you. They really will. And they'll delight you and comfort your heart later in life. How are you going to take that little savage, as cute and cuddly as he or she is, and guarantee that this one's going to be a joy to you? Well, here's a simple statement. Don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not complicated. Get this, wrong is bad, but refusing to correct the wrong is worse. We must discipline to give the children a chance at turning out right. Now, does this mean that if you discipline right, they're going to turn out right? No, I didn't say that. But they don't have a chance if you don't discipline. Because you're training, you are training your kids. Do you understand that? You are training them. Now, whether you're training them that God will, that they have to answer to God, or training them that they can live any way they want, that's up to you, but you are training them. And we need to train them to do what's right. The obvious question that comes up under a point like this is, how should a parent discipline their child? What is biblical discipline? Well, in a simple statement, let me summarize it by saying this. We should discipline our children the same way our Heavenly Father disciplines us. You should mimic the master. In Hebrews chapter 12, don't turn to it, but in verses 5 through 11, we see that the Lord is disciplining his children. It's called chastening in the Bible. And I want to give you three things that summarize the discipline of the Heavenly Father to us. Number one, he does it with love. This is found in verse number 6 where it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Cruel parents generally have bad children. He who corrects his children according to God and reason will feel every blow on his heart more sensibly than his child feels on his body. Parents are called to correct, not punish. You're not to punish your children, you're to correct your children. Those who punish them do it from a principle of revenge. But those who correct them do it from a principle of affectionate concern for them. You ought to discipline with love. Secondly, you ought to discipline with consistency. Because in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, Word of God says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Let me ask you a question. Can you get by with sin before your Heavenly Father? Can you get by with it? And why should we let our children? See, if you let your children get by with sin, you ever told your children, "Don't touch that"? Guilty. And she, throwing a hint out to you, she will reach out and touch it and then look at you and see what you're going to do about it. Ever happened to you? You listening? If we let her get by with that, we're telling her she can do the same with God. Do you see that? Discipline with consistency. By the way, it gets tiring, doesn't it? It gets weary. Again? But if you really love them, you'll stay with it. With love, with consistency. Number three, with purpose. Verses 10 and 11 says this. It says, "For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he," talking about God the Father, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Let me tell you why God the Father disciplines you as his child. Because he's trying to make you more like him. And he's wanting your life to be a life of peace and righteousness. And in the same way, that's why we're to discipline our children. We're to discipline them with the purpose of not, "I'll beat the tar out of you." That's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is, "I will discipline you because if you continue down this road, God can't bless your life." By the way, you ought to set your child down right before or after you discipline, or maybe both, and explain to them what they did, why it's wrong, and why you're disciplining them. And you ought to always bring God into it. And say, "The reason I have to do this is because God loves you and the devil's after you. And if mom and daddy don't do this, we're letting the devil have his way in your life. And we love you too much to let that happen." Do you see the difference? Discipline with purpose. Please remember, there's no reason to use a cannon to kill a mosquito. Did you hear what I just said? You don't use a cannon to kill a mosquito. What I mean by that is, don't punish because you're angry. Correct because you're right. Start early and continue until they're out of the house. 1 Samuel chapter 3. You don't need to turn to it for time's sake, because this message is hurriedly getting away from you. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. This is God speaking. "For I've told him that I will judge his house," talking about Eli, "for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." God said, "Let me tell you the problem with Eli. His sons were vile, and he didn't do anything about it." Yet you turn over to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, and says, God says, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Here's Eli, who didn't restrain. Here's Abraham. And in both cases, God says, "I know him." Eli didn't restrain his children. He said, "But I'll tell you something about Abraham. He's not only going to restrain him, he's going to teach him the word of God." I want to ask you a question, parent. Which one summarizes you? Are you Eli or Abraham tonight? "Well, I just love him so much that I just can't stand to do that because I might lose him." You have that attitude, you've already lost them. By the way, is the Bible the answer to everything? Is it, yes or no? Then let's go to the third point hurriedly. Let's give you the reasons for this. We're looking at bringing them up. The responsibility for it. Whose is it? The parents. Specifically, the fathers. The mom and dad should always be on the same page, unified. Secondly, the resources for it. Nurture and admonition. God's given you doctrine, the word of God, to train them. He's given you physical discipline to restrain them. And number three, let me give you the reasons for it. I'm just going to hit the high points and go on. Why should you do this? Why should you gather your children around you and pump them full of the Bible? Why should you have family devotions? Why should you memorize scriptures of family? Why should you do these things? Why should you take out and why should you physically discipline your children when they've done? Why should you do that? Number one, God commands it. That's enough right there. Proverbs 19:18, God says this, "Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Proverbs 23:13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." They'll try to make you think they are. But God's promised you they're not going to die. By the way, this does not give you the right, to beat the living daylights out of the kid either, folks. It ought to be proper. It ought to be right and proper. Because I'm going to tell you something. Any parent that would beat a child deserves to be beaten. Amen. I'm not saying, men, you tell you heard the preacher, my way or the highway. And sir, your attitude stinks if you say that. Your discipline should always be like Christ in love. with purpose, with consistency. Number two, the second reason is to follow his example. In Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Let me tell you a reason why you ought to correct your children, because he corrects you. And we're following his footsteps. Number three, it drives foolishness out. Proverbs 22, 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Number four, it gives wisdom. Proverbs 29, 15 through 17 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, the Word of God speaks to all this. And so many parents are just saying, well, I don't think God knows what he's talking about right there. Think about that logic. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yeah, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Number five. Now you understand I could get bogged down in this. Number five, it drives them to God. Isaiah 26, 16 says, Lord, in trouble they have visited with thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. He's saying when thy chastening was upon them, then they turned unto God. What's the purpose and motive in your discipline? They disobeyed me, and you missed it. If your purpose is not to turn them to God, your purpose is off. Parents need help with this too. By the way, I'm sure the children will love me for preaching this tonight. Number six, it delivers them from hell. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know, there's a lot of parents sending their children to hell because they refuse to discipline. I hope you see my spirit in this. I asked the men in prayer meeting right before the service, men, pray that God gives me the right spirit in this. I don't want anything taken wrong. And my spirit is that children who are not disciplined will cause you grief. But if they're disciplined in the right biblical way, by the way, discipline in the wrong way can do the same thing. I'm talking about consistent with love and purpose. You do that and your children have a chance. The last reason you ought to do this, I'm on my last page of notes. The last reason you ought to do this is because you love them. You say, wait a minute. Now the world tells me if I love my kids, I won't discipline them. Look this way. Who cares what the world says about it? What has God said about it? Do you love your kids? That's a crazy question, isn't it? Do you love them? You'd give your right arm. You'd give your life for them, I believe, wouldn't you? If you wouldn't lay your life down for your children, that's pretty pathetic. You know you'd lay your life down for them. And here's what God said in Proverbs 13, 24. Listen to this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what the word betimes means? It means early at the task. He's saying if you really love your children, then as soon as they do something wrong, you're on top of it. Bang! In love, with purpose, with consistency. And you say, that was not right. That was not right. And daddy's going to have to discipline you. And I want you to know, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I know that kids say, no way, how's that possible? You ever heard that? Well, let me tell you something, ladies. It could be that I may be speaking to a lady who cannot stand to see their child disciplined by their daddy. Let me tell you something. A daddy who really loves his children will discipline his kids. Right. Not extravagant, not in rage, not in the wrong way, but in love. I'm just about through. Susanna Wesley, the mother of 17, can you imagine? Any ladies covet her, want to have 17 kids, would you raise your hand? Good night, that's almost two football teams, for crying out loud. She said this, and I quote, she said, the parent who studies to subdue self-will in his child works together with God in the renewing and saving of a soul. The parent who indulges self-will does the devil's work. makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that in him lies to drown his child, soul, and body forever. Someone has said this, now get this. Building boys and girls is better than repairing men and women. Do you see my heart in this, folks? If you don't see my heart, something's wrong. I'm not saying that you step in tonight, bless God, it's going to be my way or the highway from now on. And if not, I'm taking my belt off and whipping everybody in my path. You've missed it. Always remember who you represent in your home. God the Father disciplines you, but he loves you in the process. And he disciplines you with purpose because he does not want to see the devil get you. He wants to be able to pour his blessings out upon you. And by the way, remember what the word nurture means? It means to instruct them and punish them when it's wrong and reward them when it's right. Some people are good at discipline, but they're terrible at rewarding. When's the last time, dear sir, instead of looking at your son or your daughter and saying, what'd you do it for? When's the last time that you said, thank you for doing that? Daddy's proud of you. Thank you. What am I saying? I'm saying it's time that we start building our boys and girls. Because if we don't build them, we're going to have to repair them sometime later. Children are like gardens. They must be cultured. Because if they're not cultured, the weeds will take over in their life. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That does not mean that if you train them up in the way they should go, that they will turn out the way God wants them to turn out. Because God does not force his will on anybody. What I personally believe that verse means is that you train them up in the way they should go, and God will make sure they never get away from that. They'll constantly be haunted. You know that's not right. You were trained better than that. You see what I'm saying? Wouldn't you like to have that for your kids? I ask you this question, I'm closing. Are you bringing them up for the Lord? Are you bringing them up for him? Let's all bow our heads together and pray, please. Our Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, you know that this is not an easy message to preach. Because there's things that can be taken wrong. But Lord, I believe and I trust that you've helped me to say it in the right spirit. Help us to see that this biblical discipline, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is exactly what you'd have us to do. Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. It says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I wonder tonight, are you of the Lord? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? And let me say this to you. God loves you tonight. He cares about you. And how many of you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm of the Lord. I'm glad I'm in the Lord. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. If and only if you can say that with God watching you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? God bless you. Thank you. Is there one here tonight you say, Jody, I can't say that, but I want to. I really do. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. Not going to call you out. I will not embarrass you. Let me ask you this. Are you using doctrine? Are you using the resource of doctrine to bring the kids up? Have you be honest and say, Jody, the doctrine part is where I struggle. And God knows that I need to have more of the Bible in my home. It may be family devotions. It might be your own personal devotions. I'm not going to ask you what it is, but if you say, Jody, pray for me, because this resource of doctrine, training them, this is where I have failed. And God knows that I need to either start reading the Bible myself every day, walking with God every day, memorizing scripture myself, or maybe you do that, but you failed in family devotions, and you realize that God wants you to begin to gather your family around you, and you say, Jody, pray for me. The doctrine is the resource that I really need to work on. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised, you can lower it, but I want you to listen to me just a moment. The great thing about this is that you can start tonight. And I'm going to challenge you to do it. Have you be honest and say, Jody, my physical discipline. Let me talk to the men just a moment since you're the leaders in the home. Have you men say, Jody, my physical discipline has not been right. Now, let me clarify. It could be either way. First of all, it could be because you're not doing it. Or secondly, it could be because you're doing it with the wrong attitude. Do you understand those questions? Both people are guilty of the same thing. Those who refuse to do it, they're not right with God. But those who are doing it, but yet they're doing it with the wrong motive. They're doing it out of anger. And they're disciplined, but they never reward. They never encourage the child. They're not like God the Father. Either way of those. And you're a man and you're a daddy. Would you be honest? You say, God is speaking to me. Whether it be because you're not doing it or maybe you're doing it in the wrong way. Would you be an honest father? Would you raise your hand in the air with me, please? God help you. Yes. Thank you for being honest. By the way, I have to raise my hand to that too because I've been guilty along those same lines. Let me tell you something. It's a great thing when God points things out to us, isn't it? Have you or a mother, and you say, Jody, I'm guilty of the same thing. It may be that you're trying to protect your children from discipline. Or it may be that you're disciplining and maybe you're going too far with it. Maybe your attitude's not right. You're a mother and you say, Jody, I believe God has His finger on this in my hand. His finger on this in my life. I'm a mother and God's speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest lady. God bless you. God bless you. If you raised your hand to anything, that's anything, that's a lot of you. I want you to lift your eyes and look at me, please. That's a lot of you. Look right up here at me. It is such a privilege when God speaks. Don't ever beat yourself up because you have to respond to something like that. God has spoken to you. That's Him chastening us. Do you see that? Now, do you feel Him taking it too far in your life? Do you feel Him beating you over the head? No. He gently just tells you, this is what you need to do. Right? In just a moment, I'm going to have every one of you. You don't have to do this. I don't want anybody to ever feel pressure to do this. But one way that you can show your appreciation to the Lord is you can come to an altar. You don't have to do this. Please don't feel pressured. If you'd like to come and bring your wife, bring your mate, bring your children. And say, let's pray together. Start it tonight. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God has spoken to you and you feel led to do this, why don't you grab your spouse's hand, grab your children if they're in the service, and come to this altar and ask God to help you with this. As Brother Gary sings, why don't you come now? Why don't you come now, please, as he sings.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
You're still standing. They're still playing. I want to ask you a question. Maybe you're here tonight and you recognize that God may be chastening you. Maybe there's an area in your life that you know is not right. And you recognize the Lord is possibly chastening you. And you know that this is what you need. Anybody like that? You say, Jody, there's something in my life I need to get right. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Be an honest person. Say, there's something I need to get right. And ask the Lord to help you with it. Maybe there's some men in here. Why don't you gather your family if you feel led? Come to this altar as Brother Gary sings the next verse. If God is speaking to you, why don't you come as he sings, please.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
They're playing through. I want you to look this way, please. I want you to look this way. Do you love your kids? Prove it. Don't let them have their way, folks. They're just so cuddly, just so cute. How do you say no to them? I understand. Believe me. But you've got to look beyond yourself and live by doctrine, live by the Bible, and say, I will say no because God says no. And I don't want the devil to get these kids. I could keep here all night. I don't want to do that. Hope you understand my spirit. I hope you've got it. Discipline just like God disciplines you. Don't take it too far, but at least do it the way he does it, with love, purpose, and consistency. And the Lord will help you. Amen. Let me remind you, if you're visiting with us for the first time, please take that visitor's card to the Welcome Center and drop it off. We've got a special gift just for you. If you're visiting back with us, I salute you. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you being here. All the regulars, I salute you. God bless you for your faithful attendance. Maybe some of you might need to get a copy of this message and send it to somebody that you know. Learn to get the gospel in the homes any way you can. I trust you'll do this. I wish many of you would come out my door. I'll be shaking hands to my left right here. I wish you'd come out my door and shake my hand. I'll give you the privilege of shaking my hand. I'm just playing with you. We appreciate you being here. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Scotty Carrier, sir, to dismiss us in prayer, please.